President Bush's State of the Union address was designed as a talk about perils that lie ahead, and it also served as something of a pep talk.
As we gather tonight, our nation is at war, our economy is in recession, and the civilized world faces unprecedented dangers. Yet the state of our union has never been stronger.
Joining me now are NPR's Cokie Roberts and Jack Pitney, a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College in California and author of the book The Art of Political Warfare. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How would you characterize the tone of President Bush's speech?
Well, it was tough. In some ways, it was scary, talking about tens of thousands of terrorists still abroad in the land and all lands, and we don't know when we're going to get them, if we're going to get them, and what they're going to do. But one of the things that was interesting was how there was none of this walk-up to this speech as there has been to previous Bush speeches. His speech last year, the budget address, where everybody said, oh, this is a terribly important speech after the Tide election, and then his speech after the 9/11 attack, this is a terribly important speech. By the time he gave this speech last night, there was a sense that he was in charge, and he certainly portrayed that air in the chamber last night.
Professor?
I think that's right. One line in particular struck me. Liberty and justice are right and true and unchanging for all people everywhere. This was a speech about big things. It was about big concepts. He had some of the usual legislative laundry list. That came toward the end. He was talking about a major crisis and talking about major concepts.
Democrats gave the president overwhelming support during his speech. Will that be reflected in legislative action?
No, not beyond the war, really. I talked to a member of the Democratic leadership before the speech, and they said it'll be a love fest. No desire to act up here when you have the president at 83% in the polls by this morning. Who knows what it is? And they found a couple of places not to applaud: tax cuts, personal retirement accounts for Social Security. But there were a lot of things where they could interpret it any way they wanted to. An economic stimulus package, well, there's for some form of that, a patient's bill of rights, prescription drugs under Medicare, stricter accounting and disclosure in corporate America, employees not lose their pensions if a company fails. Now, of course, those were all sort of code words around Enron, a word the president never said.
Yeah, the Democrats realize that the high approval ratings for President Bush don't necessarily translate into high approval for all of his policies. The one thing the approval does, though, for Bush, and gives a little bit of a leverage to the Republicans, is a lot of people will listen to him now, whereas before the war, they might have tuned him out. So that gives him an opportunity to persuade people, but it doesn't automatically mean that people will agree with him on all issues if they approve his overall job performance.
Although the president provided a list of his domestic plans, the speech was much more about broader themes and goals, wasn't it?
Well, that's what Professor Pitney was getting at earlier. I do think that sense of American leadership that he put out there. Yesterday at a briefing at the White House, they talked about changing foreign policy to have as its goal American values. He talked about an axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, North Korea. Words playing on all kinds of themes, a Ronald Reagan evil empire, but the axis during World War II. And when he talked about the goals of foreign policy, it almost was like the four freedoms. But he went beyond the four freedoms, which he did include freedom of worship, but he included respect for women, something we've never heard as a goal of foreign policy before.
Yeah, and picking up on the FDR theme, he had to do something that FDR had to do. That is, on the one hand, prepare people for tough times ahead, talk about the difficulties of wartime, but at the other hand, sustain morale, sustain confidence in ultimate victory. And so it's not surprising that he would allude to the themes of the Second World War.
Did you hear the president ask people to sacrifice?
Well, that's interesting. Again, as Professor Pitney just said, to keep morale up. And one of the things he has been criticized about is not asking people to sacrifice. And he didn't ask people to do something personal every day, like save fat, as they did in World War II. But But he did propose this expansion of AmeriCorps, which was something Republicans were not all that fond of a few years ago, asking every American in a lifetime to give 4,000 hours of two years of service to the community. He says he wants to change the culture from a culture all about me to a culture about others. He's expanding the Peace Corps, which he says has lost its mission. So I think if we'll hear a lot more about those programs in the next couple of days, and if Americans want to respond, they're going to be given the opportunity.
Yeah, the Freedom Corps is an interesting concept. It's patriotism without bloodshed. It's a way of combining military symbolism, the idea of a corps, with peaceful purpose. It also invokes memories of John Kennedy. And it's also appropriate that during the speech he made a very obvious bow to Ted Kennedy. So again, it gets to the theme of bipartisanship.
The House Minority Leader Dick Gephardt offered the Democratic response. Did Gephardt talk about anything Republicans might worry about?
Yeah, a little bit. Offering the response to the State of the Union is a tough act under any circumstances. You know, you go from the president being cheered in the hall of the House of Representatives to a guy sitting in front of a teleprompter in a room by himself. But this was more cheering than I've ever heard in lo the many states of unions I've covered. But Gephardt did talk about Enron, which is a great big cloud hanging out there. He did talk about the deficit, which is something that the president's going to have to work with to get anything passed. And he talked about campaign finance reform, which is something that the Democrats think they can make an issue of this year, particularly in the wake of Enron.
Yeah, in some respects, though, Gephardt also talked about Republican themes. One line was he wanted, quote, tax cuts that promote growth and prosperity for all Americans. Later on, he'll explain he wants different kinds of tax cuts from what the president would like to go forward with. But to most Americans listening to that, doesn't sound like much of a difference with the Republicans. Obviously, he wants to draw some contrast on Enron and campaign finance reform, but he's also trying to get to some Republican themes.
Thank you both very much. NPR's Cokie Roberts and Jack Pitney, a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College in California and author of the book The Art of Political Warfare.